If someone's starting a business in a store that they're renting, are they putting up the mezuzahs, they make a bracha or not bracha?
We typically recommend not to make a bracha.
Don't make a bracha.
Forgive me, I have a bit of a cold, so I hope they'll be able to hear me. I don't know if you want to come up closer. Okay, so I think to begin, I just want to recap very briefly.
Was everyone on a team?
No, it's okay. I appreciate it, but okay. So, as I said, to briefly recap, we learned last week that there are two main shitas in Shulchan Aruch as to under what circumstances a person can leave food on a stovetop which is not covered. Okay, and the first sheet in the Shulchan Aruch is that you can only do so if the food is fully cooked, and even at the point where it's no longer benefiting from the fire, other than that it stays hot. But it's what's called mitstamik veralo. It's getting worse. It's drying out, and the increased amount of time on the fire does not enhance the taste at all. It keeps it hot, so that's why you're leaving it there. But if anything, it's getting worse. So the first sheet says only if the food actually reached that stage, because then we're not afraid you're going to stoke the coals, because you don't want it to be too much of a fire. You're satisfied it's just like basically on keep warm, you know, on today's terms. You want it on low. You don't want to stoke the coals and have it get much hotter, because then the hotter it gets, the more you lose and the more it dries out. That's the first opinion. But anything less than that, even if it's fully cooked, but it's still benefiting from the flame, and that it's still getting tastier from being on the flame, so the first opinion says you have to cover the flame. You can't leave it on an uncovered flame. That's the first sheet of Shulchan Aruch. The second sheet in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, the Ramah says that's the minug. Was that as long as the food is at the stage of Michael Ben Drusai, which is far, it's not even fully cooked, far from it. It's even the two shitas within Michael Ben Drusai, whether that means a third cooked or a half cooked. So even if we would say a half cooked, according to this opinion, the food can be just a half cooked, which means it's got a while to go, and nonetheless. You're still allowed to leave it on an uncovered flame, on an open flame, because once it's that far along, we're not afraid, according to the second opinion, according to the second shita, which is an opinion of Hananya in the Gemara, we're not afraid you're going to stoke the coals. It's already edible, and it'll probably, it's already half cooked, so you're not so nervous. The whole concern here is about a person who gets nervous, when anxious, and forgets that it's Shabbos. We're not afraid of people, violating Shabbos intentionally. We're afraid of people that they forget themselves. So what causes that? Their anxiety, their concern that the food's not going to be ready. So Chanan Yeshita says, once it's half ready, we trust that people will be calm enough that they won't come to do this. And I think we mentioned that this is, according to many poskim, this is the halacha l'maisa. The Ramah says this is the minug, and the Chazanish says avada, this is the halacha l'maisa. I mentioned that the Mishnah Berurah, one could say perhaps it's a little bit unclear, because in the bir halacha he does seem to be concerned about the first shita, about being yotzei the first shita, but in the Mishnah Berurah himself at the end of Siman Reish and Tes. And I would add now there's another Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish and Dalid. I don't have a fan of the Sifkatan, but in those two places, the Mishnah Berurah goes completely with the more lenient shita. With the more lenient shita, it just has to be Michael Ben Drusai. Okay, so that's what people rely on. Now, I did mention, I believe I mentioned, and I'm pretty sure, but it bears repeating, that this is all Mitzad Hadin. What's really recommended is that you have the food fully cooked before Shabbos. That's really advisable, because otherwise, even if you may be allowed to leave it on the flame, and even an uncovered flame, but as long as it's not fully cooked, even if the flame is covered, as long as it's not fully cooked, it's a potential michshol, meaning you have to be careful not to do anything to enhance the cooking. You can't move it closer to the fire, or I think I mentioned, if the cover gets a little bit knocked off, you can't put it back, or anything. Or if somebody mistakenly takes the pot off, they thought it was the soup for Friday night, and they took off the chalupa by mistake, finished, they can't put it back on, because it's not fully cooked. It's not fully cooked. So till it's fully cooked, there's still an issur of bishul. So therefore, it's always better. It's better to have it fully cooked before Shabbos. But okay, but that's the advised mahalach. But lemaisa, what we're learning is what's required. What's required is, as I said, lahalach lemaisa. Basically, the second shita, it's only required to be a half cooked, and then it could be even on an open flame. And as I said also last week, if you put it on a covered flame, if you do use a blech or whatever else serves as a sufficient covering for your for the flame or for the wherever the electrical heating elements are, like in a crock pot within the walls, if you cover that completely, then la halacha, it doesn't make a difference where it's holding, where the food is holding. Okay, this basically recap the highlights of last week. Now I want to continue and build on that. There is, number one, there is a shita in Rishonim, shita of the Kolbo, that says that this whole discussion that we had, and by the way, I should just tell you, we had the discussion in like one shiur last week, and we just recapped it now in about 5 minutes. In the Gemara, there's a lot more detail, because the Gemara is mechalik between different types of cooking devices. There's what's called a tanur, and there's what's called a kira, and there's what's called a kupach. There's also different ways of fueling it. So we didn't go into that. We're not learning the sugya in the Gemara now. So we didn't go into all those details because they're not extremely relevant for the bottom line. The bottom line is we treat our stove types and a crock pot what the Gemara calls a kira. Kira, which is husak, just for the record, without explaining what this is, but husak be gefes ve'etzim, and that's how we treat it, and that's hence everything we said last week and now. Okay, but there's a shita that this whole discussion, the whole first couple of blot in the third parak of Shabbos, where this is all talked about, and the whole discussion of Shulchan Aruch, is only for a food that you're planning on eating at night, for your Friday night suda. But if it's a chalent that you're not planning on eating till the morning, till the day suda, this whole thing doesn't apply. You could leave it on an open flame no matter what, no matter where it's holding. It doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference how cooked it is, or it makes no difference. All these rules don't apply. Why? Because, again, the whole basis of the Gezeira Derabbanan, not to leave food on an open flame, is that you might be anxious that it's not going to cook well enough, and you might forget that it's Shabbos and stoke the coals. In the Lashon Gemara, Shemi Echat Bekecholim, you might stoke the coals. Says the Kolbo, that's only food which you want for Friday night. So you need it to be ready Friday night. You don't have a lot of time till it's ready, till you want to serve it. But if you want it for the day Suda, it has the whole night to cook. So with the whole night, yeah, it doesn't need you to stoke the coals. And you're not going to be so worried. You're not going to be so anxious and concerned about it because it has a whole night to cook. So says the Kolbo, therefore, it doesn't make a difference. Even if it's less than a third cooked, even if it's just barely cooked, it doesn't make a difference. You can leave it on an open flame as long as it's, in your mind, it's labeled for tomorrow. This is tomorrow's shul. Now, this sheet is a pretty much a sheet is yachid. There are a couple of Rishonim hold this way, but the majority of Rishonim do not say this. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Lacha says la halacha, we don't paskin this way, and we don't lechatchila rely on this. And we say, if we did, I mean, this whole, we basically kamat can go on to the next topic, because for most of us, the whole shaila is nogea the chalent, right? What are you keeping? That's certainly the bulk of the shaila is the chalent, which is for the day. So if this sheet would be la halacha, then we wouldn't have to discuss all this. But the Mishnah Berurah says no la halacha, we don't rely on this lechatchila. B'di'eved, you taka made a mistake and forgot. You left the kedera on the flame when it was only partially cooked on an open flame. B'di'evet, you can be mekel. Now, but let me explain to you what that means, b'di'evet, you can mekel. Because you might say to me, well, maybe you can always be mekel b'di'evet, even without the kolbo. Who says, just because I told you that you're obligated to cover the flame if the food is not, let's call it, half-cooked, mechel ben drusai, even according to the lenient view. I told you that the food has to be k'mechel ben drusai, but maybe you'll say, well, maybe that's all the chalchila. We never said yet, I don't think we said yet, that if you didn't comply with this by mistake or maybe even on purpose, if you didn't comply with the halacha and you did leave the food on an open flame or you left the food in a crock pot, barely cooked, just barely cooked, slightly cooked, when Shabbos began it was slightly cooked in the crock pot, you didn't line your crock pot, nothing. So did we ever say it's us in the oven? So we never discussed it. So let's discuss it now. So it does say in Shulchan Aruch that according to the shita, that according to the more lenient shita, which is what we're paskening like, that it only has to be cooked k'maychal mendrusai, only partially cooked, and then it could be left in an open flame. But if you didn't comply with that and you had it less than maychal mendrusai, less than that, and you left on an open flame and it cooked, it's asur yom b'di'evet. Yes. Aser b'di'evet. That's what Shulchan Aruch. It's aser even b'di'evet, even if you did it b'shogeg, even if you did it unintentionally. And the reason for this is that there's a whole sugya about what happens if a person did a malacha on Shabbos, a malacha asura, on purpose, not on purpose. What are the ramifications? Are you allowed to benefit from it or not? And there's a machlok. There's, you know, those who you may have seen it someplace in Shas and Chulin, the first parak of Tesvav, Shabbos, the third parak, and other places. Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. What are the ramifications of doing a malacha on Shabbos? But shehia, which is what we're discussing, leaving food on an open flame is more chomer than everything. With regard to the b'di'evid ramifications, shehia is the most chomer, because Chazal were afraid that it's so easy to mistakenly leave it on an open flame. It's so easy to do it and say, oh, I forgot to put the blacha. And, you know, did he really forget? He half forgot. He didn't really bother. He's glad he forgot. It's very easy to do it b'shogeg, to do it b'mezid, to intentionally and say, I forgot. So, therefore, Chazal assert it by Shia, even b'di'evit, even if you forgot. Even if you forgot for real, you really forgot. It was really a mistake. B'di'evit, it's usher. The only way it would be mutter would be a way that's not even nogea lefi the shita, lefi the more stringent shita, that you're not allowed to leave it unless it's fully cooked and drying out. So b'di'evit, if it was fully cooked, even if it wasn't drying out, once it's fully cooked, b'di'evit, you can be mekel. But if you go with the mokula tik shita, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't even have to be fully cooked lechatchila. It only has to be maichel mendrusai, right? Even lechatchila. So what's nogea is if you did it less than maichel mendrusai, it's us or even b'di'evit. So for this, the Mishnah Berurah says you can be mekel of what's called less than maichel mendrusai, less than a third cooked. If it's less than a third cooked when Shabbos starts, then you have a problem. Once it's a third cooked, the evidence mutter. That's, we'll call that Maichel ben Drusai once it's a third cooked. But okay, so halacha l'maaseh, if it's less than a third cooked, and you left it, even b'shogeg, even a real honest mistake, it's us or even b'di'evit. Now, okay, so bearing that in mind, now let's go back to the kolbo. The kolbo says that the whole din is only if it's food for tonight, Friday night. If it's food for Shabbos day, the whole thing doesn't apply. You can do whatever you want. So the Mishnah says we're not going to somich on that. We're not going to rely on that lechatchila. But b'di'evid we will. Meaning, even though we learned later that b'di'evid, we just said now, b'di'evid, if you left it less than a third cooked, a shtickle cooked, but less than a third cooked, it's usur even b'di'evid. But says the Mishnah Berurah, that's only if it was Friday night's food. But if you were planning anyway, it was the chol for Shabbos day. You were planning on using it for Shabbos day. You could make a b'di'evid even if it's not even a third cooked. You could be relying on the kolbo b'di'evid. And since you labeled this in your mind, I labeled this as tomorrow's food, so you're not going to be anxious. You could b'di'evid somech on the kolbo. But he does say, don't make it a habit. You know, b'di'evid, if it happens once in a while, but you know, if every Shabbos you're running into the same b'di'evid, then we have to reevaluate. That's what he does say that. Okay, so now that's one important halacha. Now I want to tell you another halacha, and it's going to be related to that, but it's that the halacha I just told you now is based on the kolbo as a rishonim, and I said it's not even the majority. It's not the majority of rishonim. It's only a minority of rishonim to say this way. That's what we don't pass it this way. But the next halacha I want to tell you is a gemara, and that is as follows. Everything we've said about that the food has to be at least, we'll call it Michael Ben Josai, let's just use the third, has to be at least a third cooked. That, says the Gemara, is only if it started to cook at least a little bit. It started to cook a little bit, then you can't leave it on an open flame unless it's at least a third cooked. But let's say it's totally raw. You want to put up the food totally as Shabbos begins. You want to put up the food totally raw. That you're allowed to do. That's called in the Lashon Gemara Kidra Chaisa, a raw kedera, a raw pot of food. And that you're allowed to do. Why are you allowed to do that? Because the svara is a person who puts the food up totally raw before as Shabbos begins, he has no high expectations. He doesn't expect it to be ready, you know, very soon, because it's totally raw. So Bebele, he's not going to be nervous about it. He's not going to worry about it, because it's most likely meant for the next day. In fact, the way the Mishnah Berurah learns, in Machlokas, the Bir Halacha, Mishnah Berurah, and the Chazon Ish, the way the Mishnah Berurah learns, the heter of this heter of Kidra Chaisa, putting it up totally raw, is speaking Davka when it's not going to be ready for the Friday night meal. It's raw, and when you come home from shul and you get past Shalom Aleichem and Kiddush, and you're ready to serve the whatever the hot dish is, this is not going to be ready because it was put up raw and it's simply not ready. If it'll be ready in time for the Suda, for the Friday night Suda, the normal eating time, then Mishnah Berurah says the whole heter doesn't apply, because the whole heter is based on the assumption that if you put it up raw, there's no way it's going to be ready. Once there's no way it's going to be ready, you're not going to be anxious and you're not going to be concerned. You're not going to come to stoke the coals because the Lashon Gemara, you're meisiach das from it. You forget about it. It's automatically for tomorrow because it's not going to be ready for tonight. So Mimela, it's not going to be ready for tonight's meal, so I forget about it. And if I forget about it, I won't come to stoke it. So says the Mishnah Berurah, but that's only if it's going to be, if you're... if it's not going to be ready for the Suda time, tonight. If it's going to be ready for tonight's Suda, then it's Taka Aser.
What would be the case if someone had a chalan that was less than a third cooked before Shabbos, but by the time Friday night would go on, it would be ready to begin, and then right before Shabbos he adds a raw piece of meat.
So that's as good as totally raw. The Gemara says that as well. This het, the same heter of raw kidra chaisa, doesn't mean the whole kedera has to be chai. Even if he puts in one piece of meat, it has to be meat. Can't be a potato or whatever. But he puts in a piece of meat, a raw piece of meat, right when Shabbos starts.
You don't care about the other food.
That's right. That's what the Gemara says. Because again, he showed you're putting raw meat, you're indicating that you're not planning on eating it too soon, and it's mutter. Okay, now. But as I said, according to Mishnah Berurah, it's only if it's not going to be ready in time for the Friday night meal. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with that. The Chazon Ish says, no. Kidra Chaisa Chazal Wamatir. Finished. They were matir. Because the norm is that it's not going to be ready. So even if it will be ready, it's mutter. Chazal didn't distinguish. They were matir Kidra Chaisa. And the Chazon Ish says, I'll prove it to you, because he says, if we're not going to, according to the Mishnah Berurah, Kidra Chais is only talking about when it's actually not going to be ready, right? That means it won't be ready till tomorrow. So if it won't be ready till tomorrow, and the Gemara says it's mutter because it's chai, right? So then where does the kolbo come in? The kolbo that we just said before, this is a little bit advanced, so if you don't get this point, it's okay. But the kolbo's whole heter was that no matter where it's up to, if you're planning on it for tomorrow, it's mutter. But if the case of Kidra Chaisa is also speaking about when you're only planning on it for tomorrow, that means it's not ready for tonight, says the Chazish, obviously you're planning on it for tomorrow. So if you're planning on it tomorrow, and yet the Gemara says it has to be Chai, so then how in the world could the Kolbo come along and say, no, as long as you're planning for tomorrow, it could be at any point. That would be running against the Gemara. So says the Chazish, no, because the Teretz is, the Gemara's head of Kidra Chaisa is irrelevant what you're planning. It doesn't make a difference. Once it's Chai, Yom Yisich Das. And the Kol comes along with a Chiddush that even if it's not Chai, but if you plan for tomorrow, that's good enough. Okay, so in any case, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say like this.
That doesn't make sense. We're not Chayshish that if it will be ready, or Maisa, if it's going to be ready at night. So why wasn't Chazal Chayshish?
Because normally it won't. Because the Chayshish say normally it won't. Avad, the norm is if you put up raw meat, at least in the time of Chazal, you put up raw meat on the coals before, at Friday night, just when Shabbat's starting, it's not going to be ready. It's going to take a while to cook. So even if you happen to have a super hot stove, and you have something called gachli resamim, you have super hot coals in the time of Chazal, super hot stove, and it will be ready. Chazal didn't answer it. They didn't make a gzera on that because it's the exception. It's not normal. It's not typical.
But it's not referring to a maichel that can be cooked very quickly.
No, this is only by meat. This is only by meat. It has to be meat. So it has to be meat. So, but other maichel and matakah doesn't apply because they could cook quicker. Okay, but let's go with the Mishnah Berurah that it's got to be that it won't be ready for the. For the Suda, Leil Shabbos Suda. That's when it's mutter. So, based on that, that's one factor why some poskim say nowadays, then the heter is not relevant anymore. Right? Because nowadays, you could easily put up meat when Shabbos is starting on a stovetop, and it'll be ready. How long does it take to cook, a roast even nowadays? I mean, an hour, a couple, it could be ready for the Suda. Until when Shabbos starts. So, you go to shul, you come home, and today it could be ready, right? Kidra Chaisa is not what it used to be. Kidra Chaisa used to be, stoves used to take a long time to cook things, as the coals, especially Friday night when you're not allowed to stoke the coals, it would take a long time to cook. And even if you would stoke them, by mistake, it's still very likely not be ready for the Friday night meal. But today, that's often not the case. So there are poskim for that reason, and there's another reason. One of the big poskim said this was Rav Henkin, Rav Yosef Eli Henkin, Rav Eliyahu Yosef Henkin was one of the big gedolim in the United States back. I don't know exactly when he came over from Europe, but let's just say somewhere probably from the late 40s until he was nifter in the mid 70s. He lived in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, the same place where Moshe Feinstein lived. So he had these two giants, living side by side there. I'll just tell you, Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin is not as well known as Rav Moshe, for many reasons. But I had a relationship when I lived in the Upper West Side, not the Lower East Side, but I lived in the Upper West Side of Manhattan for a couple of years, and there was a Rav there, Rav. Genger, his name is Rabbi Emanuel Genger, it's one of Rachis, God, that one number he is. But he was the Rav of the Young Israel of the Upper West Side. He was a big Talmud Chach. He was a Talmud of Rav Hutner, I believe. He was from the Gedolei Talmud of Rav Hutner. Anyway, he was very close to Rav Henkin. Through his father-in-law was someone who was another Chach who was close to Rav Henkin. So he was always close to Rav Henkin. And he held that Rav Henkin is like, Leila. When it came to Erevin, he held that there was nobody like him. He was Chad Bedoro. It was a Chad Bedoro in Hilchas Erevin. He was the greatest authority in Hilchas Erevin. That's what he was advised by Gensher. Okay. Anyway, Rav Henkin was definitely, there's a famous, just to diverge, digress from it, there's a famous story. We've all heard of the Chazon Ish. It's like, right? I know it here. I didn't hear the Chazon Ish. So the story goes back in Europe that Rav Henkin once went to speak to Rav Chaim Ozer. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was the Gadol Ador, and he was the Rav of Vilna. He was one of the, really Gadol Ador's great Talmud Chacham. And so Rav Henkin, back when he's back in Europe, he once went to speak to Rav Chaim Ozer. And so in the waiting room, or whatever it was, before there was another Yid there. So Rav Henkin asked him, Shalom, how are you? Told him his name, whatever. What do you do? Says, I have a grocery store. It's a grocery store. Do you learn it all? Want to have a chance? Now, this person was none other than, was later in life going to be known as the Chazon Ish. This was Rabbi Avraham Yishai Karelitz, who at that time was not necessarily so well known at all. And so Rav Henkin didn't know who he was at all. Rav Henkin was probably a little bit, I was older than him, but probably a similar age, So Rav Henkin asked him, so what are you doing here by the Rav? So he says, I don't know. He called for me to come. I don't know. He called for me to come. Why had he called for him to come? because Rav Chaim Ozer was planning a trip out of town, and he wanted the Chazon Ish to fill in for him as the Rav of Vilna to handle all the shaylos in Vilna while he was away. So Rav Egger know this. He's speaking to this yid who looked like a very Pashto yid. Ask him, do you learn it all? So he said, yeah. He said, what do you do? He said, I have a grocery store. I think he did, or his wife said, whatever. He said, do you learn it all? I wouldn't have a chance. which is like 23 hours out of the day. He had a chance. But later, learned the Chazon Ish. Probably Rav Chaim Ozer told him, but right, I don't know if he told him either. But that's why he was there, because Rav Chaim Ozer was going to ask him to fill in for him as the Rav of the Shtat. Okay, anyway. But... it's an interesting story. It's a famous story. Anyway, Rav Henkin was a great man. So Rav Henkin held that he lived in America the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years of his life, whatever it was, and he held that that you can't rely on Kidru Chais anymore. You can't rely on it. One reason I told you, and the other reason he said it has to be Chai when Shabbos starts. It has to be totally Chai. Once it's a little bit cooked, it's no good. By the way, and the Chazon Ish, by the way, interprets a little bit cooked means it's just yatzo lettuce bow. Once it reaches the temperature of yatzo lettuce bow, that's already called haschalas bishul, and it's not called totally raw anymore. Okay, so it says Rav Henkin, we don't wait for Shabbos to start Shabbos. I mean, we light candles 18 minutes before Shabbos starts, right? So the housewife, who's probably the one that's putting up the chant, she's going to be taking Shabbos 18 minutes. It's not really even Shabbos. So you already have 18 minutes. It's going to be sitting on the stove and beginning to cook. So when Shabbos really begins, it's not going to be totally raw anymore. And especially if you say that's 18 minutes before Shkia. Shkia, although we treat Shkia as absolutely the beginning of Shabbos, but it's a big machlokas Rishonim. There are Rishonim that hold that what we call Shkia, sunset, not the beginning of Shabbos. Don't try practicing this, but according to Rebbe Tam, you have another 58 and a half minutes before it's really even Suffolk Shabbos. And Tam holds that Beit HaShemeshes is the last 13 and a half minutes before it says, it says 72 minutes after sunset. So for the first 58 and a half minutes, it's not even Suffolk Laila, going to Rebbeinu Tam. And in Europe, there were communities that relied on this. There were communities that did Malacha way after sunset. They held like Rebbeinu Tam, Kula L'chumra, and they would do Malacha way after sunset. They say the Chasam Sofer wrote Shuvas after Shkia, based on Rebbeinu Tam. So in America, that was totally done away with. There was a consensus of the Rabbanim in the United States before any of us were born that in order, when they came up to, when they're trying to establish a frum community in America and Shmir Shabbos should become real, they were afraid that if it's going to be so fragmented, some people are starting Shabbos at sunset, some other people are starting Shabbos almost an hour later, they're just afraid America can't handle that. We have to have one Shabbos, one definition of Shabbos. So they convened and decided Shkia is being a Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah already says that you should be machmer that way. Mishnah Berurah never lived in America, but he already paskins that way, that you have to be machmer. You want to rely on Rebbeinu Tam, you want to be choshev and l'chumra, you want to wait till 72 minutes after Shkia when Shabbos is ending not to do malacha? 100% tovel abracha, that's a great thing, but you want to rely on it l'kula to do malacha after sunset, says the Mishnah Berurah. No, don't do that. The Mishnah Berurah, Siman Reish Samach Aleph. But on top of the Mishnah Berurah, like I said, the Rabbanim America, back in whatever year it was, decided that they was sort of koveya that for America. For America, Shabbos starts at Shkia, and candle lighting is 18 minutes before, more or less. And I say more or less because in Chicago it's 20 minutes. I think other places might be a little different, but here it's 18, right? Florida's 18. 18. New York is 18. 18 is the standard amount that they, and that point the woman should be Mekabel Shabbos and that's it. Okay, but is Shkia really really Shabbos? Maybe not. I mean, maybe it's still mutter technically mutter do malach v'la. So by the time it's Rebbeinu Tam's Shabbos, your food could be nowadays could be ready to serve. So therefore, Vegan said, don't rely on Kidru Chais. And he writes in numerous places in his Ksavim. He says over and over again, don't rely on Kidru Chais in America. And others agree to this, particularly because, the first reason I said, because today's cooking devices work so much quicker.
So when people accept Shabbos, though, at that time, isn't it? isn't it Shabbos then? Because okay. You can't do Malacha then. So
right. Technically... So you're raising a very good point. You're saying maybe it doesn't go by Shabbos when Shabbos is really has to be. Maybe it goes by when you start Shabbos. That's a good point. That's a possibility. There are some that say like that. There are some that say like that. But it's not clear like that. Like if you would start Shabbos arbitrarily, or you know, even if you did it whilst Kedusha Shabbos, Taisa Shabbos, you start Shabbos an hour before, and you had your child ready, then and you put it up, roll up, then many would say you can't rely. Then for sure you can't rely on your chais. So the fact that you started Shabbos doesn't make a difference. As many don't accept what you're saying. Which is there's a basis for what you're saying. And there are some that are mekel that way. Some reject Henkin's chumra for that reason. But others say no. It doesn't go by when you arbitrarily accept Shabbos. But on the other hand, they may say that. But Shkia, that's not arbitrary. Even though it's only, still only a Shaila, if it's really Shabbos, but that's what we do. That's what we do. And if somebody's not going to keep start Shabbos at Shkia, we're not going to eat in his house, right? We're not going to let him, whatever, bring food that to the Kiddush that we'll eat. We consider Shkia the beginning of Shabbos. So that's all I meant to say. So for that, you can, some say that, for sure you can make it. Elamai is still 18 minutes before. So I don't know, it may or may not be a little bit cooked by then. It's probably Yatzalezbel by then. But, let me just go back. I was saying that the reason why, one of the main reasons though why others accept this chumrah is for the first reason, the first svara. And that is that our cooking devices are so much more efficient that it's hard to say. If you put it up raw before Shabbos, it's not going to be ready for the Friday night meal. Very often it will be. So therefore many accept that argument. And some accept the second argument as well. So, it's not so recommended to rely on Kiddush Chayisa. Some poskim will tell you in a crock pot, there you could. A crock pot is by definition, it's called a slow cooker, right? That's its subtitle, slow cooker. So a slow cooker cooks slowly. And if you put up raw food right before Shabbos, it probably won't be ready. In a crock pot, it probably won't be ready for the Friday night meal, even if you put it on high, but it's a slow cooker. I know I put up the soup. It's ready. It's fully cooked. We cook, usually my wife cooks the soup Thursday night, and we refrigerate it overnight. Then when I come home around 2 o'clock, usually around 2 o'clock, I put it into a crock pot, and I turn it on high, and it's come out never bubbling when Shabbos starts. It's hot. But it's come out never bubbling. I have it there for hours, and it doesn't on high, and it doesn't get it doesn't boil. If you put it on a stovetop, you can have it boil. You know, you turn up the electric element, it'll be boiling in 10 minutes, right? But in the crock pot, it's very hot, but it's hot enough to eat. I mean, it's fine. But it come out never boils. Something come out for a shul. If I leave it on high, I'll find it boiling. Usually, I turn it down anyway, so it never boils. You know, it never reboils. It was cooked already Thursday night, but never reboils. But so a slow cooker. Maybe you could, you know, there's much more room to be samech on Kiddush Chayisa. Rav Moshe held you can be samech on it anyway, I believe. But many say not to, except as I said, perhaps in a crock pot.
Is there any tzvara to say that a food that's always set aside for the next day is something that we're not worried that you're going to come to? Like,
yeah, that's the kolbo. Is this right to say it? That's the sheet that of the is, think, that's exactly
what food that's always set aside for the next day. That was
as long as you, in your mind, you've labeled that as tomorrow's dish, then you don't have a problem. That's the goal, but we don't rely on that. Only if it can't be ready till tomorrow. Kiddush Chayisa. Only if it's Kiddush Chayisa, it can't be ready till tomorrow. That's how we know Lamaisa. Okay. So now we've the Kiddush Chayisa though is something, you know, that is sometimes applicable and something that has to be brought into the whole discussion here. Okay, now a couple of more halachas before the next main thing to go on to is chazara. Till now we've been just talking about shehia, right? Leaving it on the flame and then serving it. The next main thing, but not for now, hopefully we'll start next week, is chazara. Under what are the circumstances that I could take it off and use some of it and then put back the rest? Okay, that's the next one. Before that, just let's fill in a few more halachas that are pertinent to shehia. One is like this. When you set up the, whatever it is, the blech or this tinfoil that you're using to make your fire or your cooking element covered, so Rosh Hashanah Zayin Rabach says, you have to first make sure you first adjust the flame or the whatever it is, the element, to the way you want it. Don't go ahead and put down the blech and then go fiddle with the temperature and, you know, a little higher, because then you're, in a sense, you're negating the whole idea. The whole idea of the blech is supposed to remind you that off limits, don't touch it. So on Shabbos, you get concerned that the food's not cooking well enough. You are stoked. You say, oh, wait, I see the blech, it stops me. But if it doesn't stop you, because on Friday the blech was there and you just ignored it, which is, you know, Friday's Friday, it's not Shabbos. But if you just get it, sorry. If you can ignore the blech, or ignore if you can ignore, thank you. I think it's probably breathing also. if you can ignore whatever it is you set to remind you, so maybe it can't serve as a reminder on Shabbos either. So Rishon Zalman raises this point. It's quoted in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, and I don't know, these Miami winters are really something.
Cold now.
I hope that.
Me and my son, we both got
it. You're getting it for me?
Yeah, well, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We got Mizeo Mizeo Lachasa. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so Rabbi Hashem is also chashish for this lechatchila. So lechatchila, what you should do is set things up first the way you want it, get it exactly the way you want it, turn the dial or the knob or whatever as you want it, and then put down your blech or potential. And if you change it afterwards, lechatchila, the best thing is to lift it up and put it back. Lechatchila. There are those that are not chashish for this, but lechatchila, miyos tov. If you need to change the setting, especially if you need to raise it, because that's the whole idea, is supposed to stop you from raising it. So certainly if you mean to raise it, and some say even if you lower it, it shows that you're not goris it. I mean, it doesn't stop you. I'm mightier than the blech, because I can do what I want despite the blech, so then you lose it. So take it off and put it back. Well, you lift it up like the schach, right? Lift it up and put it back down after you finished adjusting the temperature. That's one nekuda. And the other nekuda, just to discuss a couple of minutes here, is we've been talking about leaving something on a stovetop, or we spoke last week about an electric hot plate as well, I think, right? We mentioned that plate, I think we did. Okay, so the there's another discussion in Poskim. What happens if you want to, if you don't even need it to be cooking or to be hot before Shabbos starts? Are you allowed to hook your hot plate or crock pot to a timer and have it go on later in Shabbos? Are you allowed to do that? Have it turn on in Shabbos and it will heat up your food on Shabbos. But, you know, if I don't need it that hot, or I don't need it to be on the flame so long, can I, or I don't want to spend so much money on the electric bill if I don't need to. So can I set it up to a timer and have the timer turn it on Shabbos and heat it up, or maybe even cook it? Maybe even cook it. So just, I want to clarify, the discussion that we're having, or that I want to have now, is if you put the pot there before Shabbos. Not talking about taking the pot out of the refrigerator on Shabbos and putting it on the hot plate before it goes on, and putting it into the crock pot before it goes on, and then allowing the timer to turn it on. I'm not talking about that. That, pretty much the consensus is that you're not allowed to do. Pretty much. There are, I'm not saying there's nobody that's mad to that, but for our purposes, that for sure you should not do. Definitely don't put food onto any cooking device, even if it's off now. If it's going to go on Shabbos, you must not put it there. So the whole question we're talking about is if you put it before Shabbos, you leave it already in the crock pot or on the blech before Shabbos, and you want the electricity to only turn on later. Now, probably, I mean, you're not going to want to turn on in the morning because it's sitting out all night you know, not refrigerated and not being heated, it's probably not wise. But okay, but let's say you want to go on an hour or two into shop, whatever it is. Let's just talk. Are you allowed to do this? If or maybe it's frozen, right? You had a frozen chalm. Last Shabbos, the last minute you made a chalm. Last minute you're invited out or whatever else, and you didn't eat your chalm. Or you made an extra chalm because you thought you were having 10 more guests, and then they canceled the last minute. So you have a frozen chalm, and you want to take it out of the freezer. Frozen chalm. No, you don't like frozen chalm. and you put it up in the crock pot, frozen solid right before Shabbos, and then have the crock pot go on at maybe 2 a.m., I don't know, 3 a.m. It doesn't need to be on all the way from Shabbos starts at 6 o'clock or whatever. I don't need to be on from 6 o'clock. Let it go on at 3 a.m. in the morning. And this way it'll be frozen in the meantime. Anything wrong with that? Other than what we're about to discuss, electricity. What should be wrong with that? Okay.
If it's frozen solid, maybe it's millet or something. Millet, I don't know.
But you're not doing anything. I took it out before Shabbos. Oh, perfect. I took it out before Shabbos. And I put it in the crock pot before Shabbos. That's a good case. Okay. So many poskim say that this is mutter to do. So first I should be makdim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in a famous landmark tshuva in Igros Moshe, Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simin Samach Aleph, I believe. I just saw it last week. I think it's Simin Samach Aleph. Says, absolutely not. Time clocks in Rav Moshe's vocabulary is a bad word when it comes to Shabbos. Rav Moshe says, time clocks. If a person can do time clocks on Shabbos, he can run a whole factory, and the whole Shabbos could be out the window. It's worse than a Amir Lakum. He says, there's no shaila in my mind that if time clocks were around, electricity and time clocks were around time of Chazal, they definitely would have answered it like they answered Amir Lakum. Just like you can't tell a guy, you can't set a time clock. He says, no shaila, they would have answered it. And then he says, and it could be, it's already answered. It could be when they answered Amir Lakum, that talk concludes this, because this is worse. So Rav Moshe was against time clocks. He's matur just for lights, for whatever reasons. But many others don't take that approach. Many others don't take that approach, and they do allow time clocks, be'etzim. And I think many people do use time clocks, despite Rav Moshe's very strong, day on the matter. So, and many say that you could even use a time clock to turn on your plata, your electric hot plate, or your crock pot. What? You could do that, as long as I said you put the food there before Shabbos. And one other condition, most of them say not to cook raw food. That you shouldn't do. Don't have raw food in there, which will get cooked in Shabbos. But just to reheat. You want to reheat food. You want to put it on the plata or the crock pot before Shabbos, fully cooked but cold, and have the electricity, the clock, turn it on later sometime on Shabbos. That many say is mutter to do.
Must be put on before Shabbos.
Put it on before Shabbos, right? And so here's where my frozen shalt case is a great case. Frozen shalt, it's fully cooked. It's just not very delectable the way it is. It's an ice cube, but so you put it in the crock pot before Shabbos, and you turn on and you set it to the clock, and the clock will turn it on at, I don't know, like I said, maybe 3 in the morning, and by what time you come home for a shul and ready to eat, hopefully you'll have a delicious piping hot shalt. So according to many poskim, that is mutter to do. Okay, hopefully next week, B'Hashem, we'll continue with Chazara.
When